Well, good morning. Excited for a great day? I know I am. I want to start by talking about this thing I have on the front here. Anybody know what this is? How many say it's a Fender? Okay. You're right, but not quite. This came off of a vehicle that we own, a Honda Pilot. Several months ago, I was taking my kids to school, as I often do, and I stopped and let them off. And while I was in the parking lot in this high school, one of the other young drivers came and turned the corner a little bit too sharp and bent up my fender and bumper and stuff like that on the car. And so I talked to the parent, and if it's a young driver, you know how insurance goes, right? One little scratch on something, you take it to the insurance, and then it becomes like you owe $1 million for the next 3 years or whatever. And so, and that happens as part of life. And so I said, hey, listen, I've done body work before. I used to run a body shop for a while. And so I kind of know how to do things a little bit. I said, why don't I see if I can fix it for cheaper than what they could do. And I got a quote. And so I said, I can do this. So I ordered another fender. And so this is not a fender. This is what I call an off fender. All right? Yeah, there we go. Good dad joke. Okay. You know, it's an off fender. You're still recovering. I know. You're like, really? Did you just say that? I did. It's an off fender because it got bumped and bruised and it was no longer usable and you can't really see it too well from there. But there's some, it's all bent in the front and creased. And in order to get that out, it takes so much body work. So I ordered another one that was the same color and just put it right on there and it was good to go and it worked out. It reminds me of life that many times we get offended. Get it? Come on now. Track with me. This is good. I worked all week on this. Come on, give me some grace here. Come on. Listen, what else do I do as a pastor? I come up with some creative things, and this is creative. So, listen, we get offended easily. We get offended on a repeated basis. We get offended just every day from people that we never expected to be offended from. Do you agree? You get little relational fender benders from the person that you love the most, and then you get into major catastrophic, it seems, accidents where it seems like a total loss from people that you love the most or people that you don't care for a lot or whatever, and you have all these things that happen, and the question then becomes, what do you do with an off fender? What do you do when you're hurt like that? What do you do when the pressure's on, the stress is on, when you've been hurt by even the most annoying people? They can hurt you, they get on your nerves, they offend you, or the people that just hurt you deeply in a very personal and real way. How do you handle that? Because offenses, they come easy, don't they? We have annoying people that offend us, yes? Okay? You've got people that you just look around the corner. You've got neighbors that offend you. You've got a spouse that offends you. You've got kids that offend you or parents that offend you. You've got coworkers or a boss that offends you. You've got offenses that happen all over the place. And so the big question is, what do you do when you're offended? Now, let me give you a couple ideas into this. Because I've been around you long enough. I don't have these issues, but you do, right? I'm joking. We're in this together because I get offended too. And here's what happens. We handle these offenses in different ways. Here's one way. And don't raise your hand. Don't admit to these things, you know, just kind of in your head be like, yeah, I'm going to do that. So here's one. When you're offended, you reply by not replying at all. You just kind of ignore them. You give the silent treatment. That's so spiritual, isn't it? The silent treatment. If you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. I got this one down. We're not talking for days or weeks. I knew one couple that I was good friends with that when they got into an argument, she would not talk to him for weeks. And I had a lot of respect for both of them. And I said, how does that work? Like, you sit at the dinner table and nothing said? And he said, well, yeah. And that was at year 50 of being married, by the way. He's telling me this story. And I thought, wow, that's weird. And she wasn't like a horrible person.
Yeah, she's normal. And he wasn't a horrible person. They were normal. And just going through normal. And that was how they responded. And it was almost a laughable moment. And it didn't happen often, but it happened occasionally. Here's another one. You have that extreme where it's super silent. Then the other extreme, which is I'm super loud and voice my frustration, opinion, my objection to how you've offended me. Okay? You might know some people like that. You get loud. Or you cuss them out. Not in church. But you let them know how irritated and annoyed you are with them by giving them a piece of your mind. And it goes until you feel like you've vented long enough and they've gotten the point. And you know people like that, right? No nudging, yes? Okay. And so we have those kind of responses to being offended. And there's others as well where you get hurtful back, you get annoying back, or you do a guilt trip back, or whatever it might be, and you have these different responses. And my question is, are your responses right? Would God be happy with the way you're responding? And secondly, is it helping? Is it helping? There's a lot of tension in this because we get into these relational fender benders all the time. We get beat on this side or that side, and we get kind of crushed in, and we go and we're like, man, that shouldn't have happened. And you have this tension inside that's you're just filled with frustration and the emotion of this shouldn't have happened. If I would have backed up a little bit more, if they wouldn't have said this, then I wouldn't have. And you have this regret and this frustration that sits in there. What do you do with it? Well, listen, in the next 30 minutes, I want to share with you what you do with it. I want to give you God's prescribed way of dealing with these kinds of moments that are super hurtful. And if you listen through this, at the end of this, you'll say, I know how to deal with this pain. So let's walk into it. Matthew chapter 5 is where we've been for several weeks, and we're going to continue in Matthew chapter 5. We're in verse 7 now. And these are commonly referred to as the Beatitudes. And so we look at this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, and the whole series is inside-out living. And this is Jesus' inside-out way of dealing with offenders. And you'll get sick of me saying offenders today. Okay? So here's what he says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. He says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Here's what mercy is. Mercy is compassion. Mercy is compassion. When I look at you, I feel compassionate toward you. I look at the wrong state that you are in. I look at you, the offender, and I look at you, and I'm more compassionate to where you are. Mercy is that compassion, or it's forgiveness that's shown towards someone that you literally have the power to punish them, or you have the power to harm them. And so instead of responding in those kinds of ways, you're backing up and you're saying, I have the power to do this. I have the power to hurt them. I have the power to be able to inflict this kind of punishment or pain on them. But instead, I have compassion and forgiveness to them. Let me give an illustration so that you can grab onto this a little bit better. If you're pulled over for speeding, you're going 55 in a 45 zone, and or maybe 35 in a 25, whatever it is. You're speeding because you're late to get to wherever you need to get to. Instead of leaving on time, you left late, and you try to make it up for it on the road. We've never done this, right? Okay, so you get pulled over. The police officer cares about the safety of the people on the road. And it's in an area where there's a lot of kids playing and different things, so a police officer goes and pulls you over. And here you're frustrated now because you know you're in the wrong. So the police officer comes up to the side of your door, your car, and says, you know, license or registration, as they do, and you give that to them, and they say, do you know why I pulled you over? And you I don't know, you know, and you kind of do a sheepish whatever thing. And he says, well, the truth is, you have been speeding in this area where you should have been going 35. You're going 10 miles over the speed limit. And that's an unsafe way to drive. I want to keep the kids that are playing over there safe. So I pulled you over because I want to keep everybody safe. And so you go back to the car and you're sitting there like, oh man, this is going to be 3 points on my driver's license and my insurance is going to go through the roof. I hope that, but I deserve it because I know I was speeding. But man, I hope that the officer is what? Merciful, compassionate. And you have this sob story. If you talk to police officers, as I have, they listen, if you listen to them a while and say, give me your best sob story you've heard, they'll have a dozen, okay? And we all have our sob stories, right? And the goal is to get them to feel compassionate to us. So then the police officer comes back up afterwards and comes up to the door and gives you this little piece of paper and says, I'm giving you a warning. While you deserve a ticket today, I am giving mercy toward you, and I'm giving you this warning so that you stop doing this. And next time, you'll get a ticket for sure. And so he or she gives this warning out to you, and so now you are the recipient of mercy. And we all say, I want to be that recipient of mercy because I know I was in the wrong, but it wasn't that bad. I mean, come on, really? But it was that bad. And so you're the recipient now of mercy. The police officer leaves, goes back into his car, or her car. And now they're sitting there saying, man, oh man, I feel like justice was not served. And I'm frustrated because they're driving like a maniac. One friend of mine was driving down this road and was driving down his 55, and they were driving and speeding about 85 miles an hour. They got pulled over by a police officer. And the police officer had mercy and said, listen, I'll leave you with a warning. And the friend of mine said, you know what? I'll never do that again. And I'm so appreciative and all this other stuff. Police officer gets back in the car and is there. And the person driving goes down to where they were at, and then they come back. On their way back, true story, on their way back, same police officer pulls over the same person for speeding about the same amount of miles per hour. True story. What is a police officer, or what is the person who has been offended, who is just saying, look, just do the right thing. Drive safe, drive careful. And that's an easy one because we all want mercy in those situations. But the reality is we don't deserve mercy. We deserve the speeding ticket. We should say, thank you for keeping the kids that I don't know safe. Thank you for keeping me safe. Because if left to me, I drive 90 in a 35 because I think I can handle it. And I'll be able to dodge anybody. And that's the way we are. We're kind of filled with ourselves there. But here's where this really works itself out. The police officer now, or the person who has been offended by this, is sitting there with this pain and this frustration and this disappointment with, man, why do people keep doing this? Why are they so painful here? Why can't, the speed limit says right there, and there's a kid that was just killed last month here, and don't they understand the importance of driving at this speed? And you have all of these things that are going on in the background of this person that's just extended mercy. What do you do with it? That's the question. That's where the rub really comes in. You can say, I forgive you. And don't we do this with our children? With our children, where they get offended by something, we say, listen, just say, I forgive you. I forgive you, right, Sam? Say, I forgive you. I forgive you. But in their heart, you know that they're not at the point of saying, I forgive you. They're not the part of forgiveness and compassion. They're just going through the motions, and we do that a lot of times. So here's where this really gets practical. In order to do mercy correctly, you have to know the first four verses that Jesus said. See, this is, you have to know the context of this text where he says, be merciful and you'll receive mercy. In order to be merciful, you have to have the right inside parts, the right inner character, the inner drive. Mercy is basically the vehicle that gets you there, but inside of the car, inside of the vehicle, is an engine and a gas tank that has to get you going, has to get the car moving. And mercy needs a gas tank, needs an engine, needs a battery, whatever it is that gets you from point A to point B. And so what that then looks like is these first four things that Jesus talked about, where he says in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, as we talked about, these are the humble. These are the ones that say, I am no greater than dirt, I'm just dirt, but my value comes from God. So as I walk through life, I understand that my value does not come from what they said about me or what they think about me or how this thing worked out or what I own or how successful I am. My value, because I just see myself as dirt because I'm made from dirt and I'll return to dirt, and we understand that. And if you missed that message, just rewind and go check it out. But I understand I'm made from dirt, so my humility comes in where I say, but God values me so much that he loves me, sent his son to die on the cross to pay for my sins so that I could have a relationship with him. That's my value. My value is not derived from what people say or what I have or things like that. So it starts inside. Mercy, first of all, says, okay, yep, I was hurt. That doesn't take away the value that God has placed on who I am. My value is not on what they just said. My value is not on they just called me fat. My value is not on, man, why do you have that junky car? My value is not on, hey, you didn't get that promotion. My value is not on, you're just a jerk. My value is not there. My value is in what God says about me first. He says, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He says, I love you so much so that I gave my son for you. I want a relationship with you. That's where it begins. There's the inner drive, the inner characteristics. The second thing then he says is blessed are those who mourn. To mourn is to simply say, I am comforted by God rather than being comfortable. Listen, when I got into that accident, that little fender bender, I was comfortable sitting in the parking lot, dropping my kids off, saying, have a great day. I love you. I'll be praying for you. You know, and while I was about to pull away, this person comes around and clips my front end. I went from being comfortable to needing to be comforted. By the way, the person that hit me needed to be comforted as well because they were like, no, right? And so now we go from being comfortable, going about our normal day, to needing comfort. Where do we get that comfort from? Blessed are those that mourn. It's God, I am in all kinds of pain. Please help me. That's where it begins. And so how does he help us? Through the comfort of the Holy Spirit that walks into our heart and gives us comfort and gives us direction. Through God's word that gives us clear direction as to how to handle these things. And through other people that come alongside and say, well, yeah, you could be adjusting here and make this better. Or it's from people that say, you do have a problem you have to work on. It's both end. Okay? And so there's that next aspect. And then the last one. I'm sorry, the third one is blessed are those that are meek. I give up my right to punish. I have power under control. And so instead of pushing and just reacting right away, I am a meek person. It's inner stability, inner character. And then the last one there is I hunger and thirst for righteousness. So instead of just being reactionary, I want to do what is right. I hunger and I thirst for doing what God wants me to do. That's the inner drive of mercy. That's the engine. And so in order to be compassionate, in order to be forgiving, if you don't have those characteristics inside of you, you often just go through the motions because, well, the pastor told me to. I know it's the right thing to be merciful, so I'll just be merciful. Listen, if you don't have the inner drive of hunger and thirst for righteousness, you'll miss out on the enjoyment of being merciful. So let me explain to you. Let me share one more thing with you. Mercy simply gives the map for emotional and relational healing. Okay, so how do you heal emotionally from pain? You heal through mercy. It's this whole process, okay? So I'm going to give you one phrase that you can capture, hold on to as you're going through normal life. You ready? Okay. When offended, not if, because we all get offended. When offended. So I'm going to encounter this. You might encounter this today. You might encounter this later on tonight. You might encounter it tomorrow. Well, whenever you are offended, when offended, the merciful will be mended. See how I rhymed that? Isn't that good, right? When offended, the merciful will be mended. Good, good, good. You're catching on. Let's do that again. When offended, the merciful will be mended. So when offended, you're going to start thinking, okay, God says, the only way to deal with this is not through retaliation, but through mercy, and the mercy will get mended. Okay, let me walk this through a little bit further with you, and we'll get some more, get a little deeper in this. So you're already in Matthew, so go to Matthew chapter 18 now. And Jesus walks into this with his disciples and helps them to understand this because they were struggling with this as well. So Matthew chapter 18. Starting verse 15, And I'll just highlight a couple verses here, and you can read the whole thing at your leisure. But in chapter 18, verse 15, he says, if your brother, sister, it's a person around you, sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens, you've gained your brother. Now, throughout the rest of this, he gives a process as to how to deal with this. But here's what he's promoting from the beginning all the way through. He's promoting restoration. I wore this shirt today. I'm restorable. You are too. Restoration is the whole process or the goal of mercy, that I want to restore this relationship. I see that it's not where it used to be, and so I understand it was here and now it's here, and so I want to restore that to where it used to be or restore it to a place that's better than it used to be. And so a person that's offended, that someone has sinned against or is hurt, the person that is on the receiving side of this is now going back to them and saying, hey, listen, what you did hurt me. What's going on here is a struggle. And so you're simply going back and you're identifying in the person that has offended you, hey, there's a problem. In the parking lot, after this person pulled around and hit me, I didn't just drive away and say, stink, now I got a fender bender, I got my fender and I got this work to do. What I did was I went to the person that caused that offense and spoke the truth and said, number one, you okay? Number two, did you see our cars have some scratches on them now? You know, truth, something happened that was wrong. And so I'm speaking, first of all, with truth. Mercy must have truth inside of that. Mercy must be, I'm speaking the truth to you. And sometimes the truth is, I just feel like something's wrong. And it's okay to speak that so long as you allow the other person to speak into that feeling. Sometimes feelings are just are kind of receptors as to how things are going. The other person might say, I understand that, but that's not at all how I meant that to be. So I feel offended by the way you said this, and the other person can say, yeah, I shouldn't have said that, or, well, I understand you feel that way, but that's not what I was trying to say. I said that really wrong. Difference, okay? So there's some clarity there that you can get some feedback on over time. So we work a little bit further into this. There's other times where you look at this person that has done some sin, done some hurt to you, and you say, you know what? They're looking to continue to pummel me. They're the type of people that I say, you know what? As they keep beating on you, you need to get someone that helps you to not get beat on some more, to confront and say, you're hurting me. They would just look and say, yes, I intend to hurt you. That's my goal here is to hurt you. And in those kind of situations, you need to get someone else involved that would be able to put you in a place of safety so you're not continuing to be hurt. And that's a whole nother real message or seminar or whatever that we could do on. So here's how this works then. If you intentionally or unintentionally, like you have this relational fender bender that happens, and it occurs, and so, boom, there you are, and now there's some scratches, there's some bruises, there's some things that hurt now about you. If you've done that to someone else, here's what happens. They get to come to you, whether you meant to do this or didn't mean to do this. They get to come to you and say, hey, listen, you see this scratch on my heart? That came from you. And I want to resolve this. And so here's what happens. They get to come back to you, and they get to explain the hurt that happens. Now, just a tip, real simple tip. Listen before responding. Don't react. Listen. Listen very clearly. Listen to understand where they are. Listen to understand the pain that they're in. Listen to understand the offense that really was caused. Don't get reactionary where you push them off and say, well, what's your problem? That's not what I meant. Come on, you took me all wrong. What's your problem? Instead of getting that way, you push back on your own self and you listen. Because you have someone on the other side of you, it's hurting because of some action or word that you said. So instead of just dismissing it and doing what Eve did or Adam did in the garden where they blame shifted and said, well, it's not my fault, it's their fault, or it's your fault. Instead of doing that, we listen and understand clearly. There's the first step within all of this. The other side of it is, if someone offends you, if you're on the receiving end and you've got now a fender that's bent up in your heart, you have the ability to go to them and say, hey, listen, we've got a problem here. And we need to work on this because my goal is for our relationship to be mended. Right? My goal isn't just to come and say, see, I got you. I knew you were this horrible person. I can't believe you said that's not the goal. It's not to point out what they did wrong. The point of the whole conversation is to bring about a mended relationship. Such a big difference there. And so a little tip. When you go to a person that way, go in the spirit of mercy. Not in the spirit of, I got you. In the spirit of mercy. So he goes down further, and this is where it gets really cool, because you're smart people, right? And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, okay, yeah, I've done this. I got this. Yeah, I told them they're wrong, and here's how it worked out, or it didn't work out, and here's what happens. And Peter calls Jesus out on this. I love this. Peter's one of the disciples that if he's thinking it, it's just coming out of his mouth. You know anybody like that? Right? If they're thinking it, there it is. Okay, and Peter's like, okay, wait, hold on, just stop here, Lord. You're talking about this whole thing of I gotta go up front and it's all gonna be okay, but hold on, wait, because I've had this happen to me. And I've been hurt, I've been offended, not once, but a bunch of times. So listen, Lord, how many times I gotta go through this? How many times I gotta do this thing? How many times I gotta have to forgive? Like, I'm going to go way out on the limb because this is, like, the perfect number is what? 7. So, okay, Lord, how many times? Like, I'll do the perfect number, 7. Like, I'm super spiritual because I know, listen, John, he never forgave me for that thing over there that just happened, but I would, you know, so 7 times. He was, like, at 3. We maxed out, but for me, I wasn't maxed out. I went to 7. So, Lord, 7, good, right? And Jesus responds. And you know the text, right? You know what he's about to do? A mathematical equation that's really awesome. And Jesus responds and he says, not 7, but how many? 70 times 7. Okay, mathematicians, how many is that? Yeah, 490. You know this. So here's what Jesus is saying. Get a whiteboard from Walmart. Put it in your bedroom. And listen, when they offend you, you forgive them the first time. You go back into your bedroom and say, there's one time. And then you go back and you're going through life. And 2 days later, they did it again. Okay, I forgive you. There's number 2. And you just keep on going back and forth. Number 10. And now we're up to 75. And we're just keep on climbing. It's year number 2. I'm forgiving them for the same thing. And now we're up to 473. And at 491, I go back to them and say, I'm off the hook. I no longer have to forgive you. Woohoo! Jerk. That's not what Jesus was saying, right? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, yes, keep forgiving. It's not 400, it's infinite. So then he tells a story as Jesus loves to do because he helps us to apply into our hearts so deeply. And so he talks about this king that goes and he goes to settle his accounts. He's looking at his ledger and says, you know, my bank account's a little bit low, so I need to get some people to pay me back. They're probably late on some payments. And he finds this one guy that owes him a whole lot of money. And this is, we're in Matthew chapter 18, and now we're into verse 24. When he began to settle one of them that was brought to him owed him 10,000 talents. Now, we don't know what a talent is per se in our culture. That's not how we speak. But it's 20 years' wages is what I've kind of come up with in research. 20 years' worth of wages, okay? So take your salary times 20, okay? And then it says 10,000 of those. How much money is that? Just say a lot, right? I can't pay that back. It's not going to happen. Number one, what kind of king would let somebody do that to him? Right? Like you borrowed money and you borrowed again and you just kept on going and you took a credit card and maxed out and then the third credit card and the fifth credit card and I kept on giving you some and you kept on saying it's going to be okay and then you didn't pay me back. So he calls him into the court and he says, hey, listen, you owe all of this. There's no way you're going to pay this back. So here's what I'm going to do. And this is the culture of the day. I'm going to throw you in jail. And I'm going to throw your wife in jail. And I'm going to throw your kids in jail until my debts are paid. So essentially, you are in jail for the rest of your life. And that's how it worked back then. Good day or bad day. For the king, he feels better. Don't you feel better when the person that offended you is punished? It resolves it. See, they got what they're due. I still don't have a bank account, but they got what they were due. And the guy responds and he says, oh, King, he falls down on his face. He says, please have mercy on me. It's like the guy in the car with the police officer. Please, you don't understand. My great aunt, she broke her foot. And then my cousin, they had this happen and I'm late for so-and-so. And okay, and so that's what this guy's doing. He's pleading for mercy and please be merciful to me. And the king says, okay, I'm going to extend mercy. Everybody else is looking at me like I'm a fool now because I'm forgiving a debt that you could never pay. Now I look like the fool and I'm still hurt, but I'm going to take your accounts and I'm making them zero. You owe me nothing. Would that be a good day for you? Could you imagine? So the guy walks out of this room all excited about this, and then he realized, you know what? I've got some people that owe me money. So he goes and he finds this other guy that owes him a denarii, which is about a day's wage. So he owes him $100, say. What's the difference between 100 and millions? Right? So he goes to him, and he says, listen, and he grabs him, he scruffs him up, he grabs him by the shirt, pushing him up against the wall is how I see this passage working out. He's got him up against the wall and says, where's my $100? I want my money, and I want it now. And the guy's pleading with him for mercy. He says, man, I'll get it to you. I'm really sorry. I know I was supposed to give it to you last week, and I forgot about it. Just give me another week. I'm almost there. And he's scruffing him up, and he says, listen, I'm sick of your stupid excuses. I've had enough of you. I'm throwing you in jail. And he does. Well, the other servants that knew about the story that were hoping for mercy too, probably, they hear about this. And they go back to the king and they say, hey, listen, king, if you don't mind, I got a question for you. You know that guy that you forgave that? Oh, yeah, I remember that guy. I'll bet you, man, that was probably life-changing. And I'll bet you that changed the lives of all the people that owed him money. And I was really trying to affect the whole economy of this whole place by doing that. Well, king, guess what happened? That first guy that owed him like $100, he threw him in jail. King turns around and says, this is not right. So he goes over to where this servant is that now is filled with pride and is saying, you know what? Nobody's going to hurt me. Nobody's going to take advantage of me. I'm not going to look like an idiot, and I'm not going to be excluded, and I'm not going to be that person over there. I got to stand up for my rights. I got to make sure they pay what's due. And King says, hey, listen, I forgave you that debt. I extended mercy to you. Why didn't you extend mercy to him? You see, here's the picture. The picture is the people that have been forgiven this debt that could never be repaid is you and I. It's that before a holy God, he looks at us and sees that when we as a child, we were disrespecting our parents. As a teenager, we were disrespecting our teachers. We were lying about our homework. We were out doing things we weren't supposed to be doing. And God saw all of that. As an adult, he sees when we cheat on our taxes. He sees when we're manipulative, when we're lying. He sees when we're stealing. He sees all the different things that we do. He sees the wrong attitudes, the wrong actions. He sees everything. And he looks and says, here's the debt you owe me. It's not just a denarii, a day's wage. Here's the debt of sin that I have against you. The offenses that you've caused with me. And those offenses that you have with me, when I tally them up, they are more than you could ever pay. But I will give you forgiveness through my Son, Jesus Christ, who I'm sending to pay for all the debt of all mankind, past, present, and future. All. So every offense is gone. All you have to do is go plead for mercy. Just go to the king and say, have mercy on me. I can't pay this debt on my own. have mercy on me. I see that I was a disrespectful child. I see that I was a lousy person in school. I see that to my wife or to my husband, man, I'm not so great. I see that I shouldn't have done this with my money. I see that, man, God, when I count up all the things, my debt, all my offenses against you, I need a ton of mercy. So God, please be merciful to me. And God says, forgiven. The debt is at zero. Isn't that great? Man, oh man, it's life-changing, it's life-altering. And here's the point of it. Here's what where rubber meets the road. When we have someone that comes and scratches our little heart, right? And does a little fender bender, that's nothing compared to what we've done against God. And so then our response to that is to go back and to say to that person, because of the mercy that I've experienced from God, I get to and I want to, and because I see it gives God pleasure to extend mercy to me, I get to be merciful to you. So your debt to me is zero. That's how it's supposed to work. But what I've found is it doesn't always work that way. We're a lot like the unmerciful servant, aren't we? I want to extend my silent treatment to you until I feel like you've been punished long enough. That's what it is. I want to give you a piece of my mind until I feel like I've punished you with my words. I want to see you squirm. It's punishing. That's all it is. There's no mercy. There's no compassion. It's, I'm going to let you have it until I feel like the punishment has been paid. And then we get spiritual and we say, but I forgive you. You don't forgive. You let him have it. You punished as much as possible. To be merciful is to have compassion, is to extend this forgiveness ahead of time. And it comes out of that inner character that is, I'm hungry and thirsting for righteousness. I'm meek. I'm mourning and I'm poor in the spirit. I'm humble. And out of all of that, because of what Jesus has done for me, out of all of that, I'm walking into this saying, I will be merciful. It's not that you never speak about the truth, because mercy must have truth in it. It's, yes, you did that. Yes, that was an offense that you committed against me. However, I extend mercy to cover that. Now, does that mean that someone that's violated, that's raped, or that's murdered gets to go free and you always have mercy? No, that's not what it is. I can free you from that in a relational way, but in a judicial sense, we have laws in the land that keep us going in the right direction. Do you see the distinction? There's relational and then there's judicial, and we can hash that out a different time, but I'm not going to do that here. So here's where we need to be. If I bring it all down into one main major point, it's to simply say the same thing I've said already. When offended, the merciful will be mended. When offended, the merciful will be mended. My question is, who is it in your life that you say, my relationship with them needs to be mended? Who in your life says, I need this relationship to be mended. This is so broken, and I haven't done anything about it yet. You see, that's where it begins. Whether it's a parent to a child, where the relationship's broken, a child to a parent, a spouse with spouse, a friend, a neighbor, whoever it is, you say, and it could be inside this church as well, honest. So we simply say, okay, I have this broken relationship, and I desire to see it mended. So then we go back and we say, okay, God, the only way that this is going to be mended is through mercy. So truth, they hurt me. Truth, I'm going to God in it. And as I do, God, lead me. And I'm hungry and thirsting for righteousness. Help me to do the right thing, say the right thing, and have power under control and meekness as I go about and do this. And we do this in a wise way. Proverbs says that we go and we speak words that are apples of gold and pictures of silver, that our words are very precise and clean and prepared well, not just off the cuff. So, as we pull this to a close, who in your heart right now would you say you need to talk to? To just have a silent treatment. Listen, they know that the relationship's not right.
to just kind of go about your business, and they say, hey, how's everything going? And inside you're saying, I'm hurt by you. But outside, you should be saying, hey, listen, we need to talk. It should start there. So here's my question. Is there anyone right now that you will be willing to follow God by faith because you hunger and thirst for righteousness, because you're meek, because you're mourning over the pain that you're in, and because you're humble, you're poor in the spirit, because of all those things, is there anybody in your heart right now that you say, it's time for me to talk to them? So here's how it starts. Before you leave, because here's how I know life goes, right? In an hour, you will forget almost everything I said, right? I know how that works. So before you leave, you need to reach out to that person and simply say this one thing, just one thing. Get the ball rolling. It can be in any kind of way. For me, it would be, hey, God spoke to me today, and we need to talk. Just so that you get the ball rolling. Hey, God talked to me. God spoke to me. He spoke to my heart, and we need to talk. And that's the end of the text or call for now. So then you set up a time that you can pray about it, that you can plan ahead, you can seek God's direction in it, and you can make sure your words are wise and precise and clear. Not just off the cuff and to see how this works out, but you're making sure you go into it with the right heart. And sometimes in a very difficult one where you feel like your life's been wrecked by this, you get somebody else to pray with you on it. You say, man, I want to do this right, and I'm in so much pain, and I need your help with this. So you begin the process, and you work it out. Now, I know there's some pushback going on. There's some people that you know, that by talking to them, nothing's going to change. But I want to push back just once and say that not everybody's like that. In my experience, I've seen people that were dismissed as they would never change. They would never hear me. They would never listen. I've seen far too many people that were eager to listen. And I've seen God do amazing works in people's lives where they were, you just discounted and said, there's nothing good that's going to come out of this. And God showed up in huge ways and brought restoration into that relationship. He mended it. But it all comes back to our heart. It all comes back to our heart, and it flows out of getting that engine running, that engine of mercy, and getting it to where it needs to be. Will you do it? I want to show you a video this morning just to give you some time to process and some time to kind of meditate on what we've already said. And maybe in your phone, maybe it's during this time that you need to reach out and text somebody and say, hey, God spoke to me today, and we need to talk. Maybe that's right now that you should do. I wouldn't wait till this afternoon, because you will find excuses, as you already have, to dismiss it. So instead of that, let's deal with it now. Let's start and see where it goes from here. Let's watch this video together and meditate on these things. Thank you.
Let's pray together. Oh, Lord God, we need your grace in this. Lord, we've all been offended. We've all been hurt in different ways. And so, God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts right now about the relationships that we see as broken, that need to be mended. And, Lord, I pray that you would help us to apply mercy to them. Help us, Lord, to take the steps that you have prescribed for us. Help us, Lord, to step out by faith instead of staying there and just saying it'll never change, it'll never get better. And Lord, I pray that your grace would abound. I pray that your comfort would be felt and seen in our life. And Lord, I pray that your direction through your word and through the principles that you've guided us in, Lord, I pray that we'd see it really work out in an awesome way. Lord, may we have a church that's built on mercy. Lord, may we have ministries that are built on mercy for your sake. Because God, you are so merciful to us. And we give you praise. We give you glory for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.